Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The following program is sponsored by Cecil & Sons Discount Tires and Tulsa Gas Tech. The opinions and suggestions expressed on the following program are solely those of the participants and are not necessarily endorsed by KRMG, Cox Media Group Incorporated, or the program sponsors. It's an Ask the Experts weekend on News 102.3 KRMG. Welcome to Wheels with automotive experts from Cecil & Sons Discount Tires in Sand Springs and Tulsa Gas Technologies, your CNG expert, here to answer your questions about your car, truck, or SUV. To join the program, call 918-460-KRMG. That's 918-460-5764. Or you can text your questions to 95920. The Ask the Experts weekend rolls on with Wheels with Lloyd Boland, Troy Cox, Tom Sewell, and the host of Wheels, Denver Fox.
Well, April's almost over, but we're still observing National Car Care Month. And we got some things that you need to take care of. 80% of vehicles need service, and you're not getting it. So we're going to urge you to do that so your car stays running longer. Here on this edition of Wheels, good morning. I'm Denver Fox. And welcome in on this nice, nice Saturday morning on one of the final weekends of, well, it is the final weekend of April, as a matter of fact. Tom Sewell with Tulsa Gas Technology is here, just back in town from a big trade show where they were talking about a lot of alternative fuels, including CNG. But I guess a big thing a lot of people are talking about is electric cars, too, huh?
Yeah, the trade show was actually dominated by electric vehicles. Freightliner had a electric truck, Class 8 truck. They had a natural gas hybrid that drove a generator that drove four electric motors in a Class 8 truck. And then they had a diesel hybrid.
Wow.
And then the Nikola hydrogen electric truck was there, and so was the Tesla. So I was pretty impressed with that kind of stuff has come along. I still think they have a lot of challenges, but they're working in a lot of import vehicles. Like in China, they had a lot of their buses over, and they're running these smaller buses instead of the big 40-footers. It looked like something you'd see like Mike Fiennes vans.
Mm-hmm. But like little shuttle vans.
Little shuttle vans. Uh-huh. But they were all over the place. And so, you know, it's coming. There's no doubt that it's coming.
Is CNG and electric merging? Is that any?
Well, that's what the Freightliner guys were saying, because it's still one of the best alternative fuels out there. And I'll tell you something else that was coming hard at this show is renewable fuels. So natural gas is a renewable fuel. It's the earth is making natural gas all the time. But these landfills and then chicken waste, cow waste, all these waste facilities are making methane gas. And the last administration required them to capture that gas. And so now we are finding ways to burn it in vehicles.
Really?
Yeah,
methane gas.
Methane gas. So that's the main component of natural gas we cook and heat with.
Wow. Of course,
so we're going to see the sticker on the back of the car instead of powered by CNG, powered by cow farts.
Yeah. Well, they're going to outlaw those.
Yeah. But special on bean day, maybe.
Yeah, bean day.
Back off.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
But it didn't smell bad.
Well, that's good. At least some of the grease that they've recycled, you know, have been, you could smell French fries when they burn it coming out of the exhaust.
It's really neat to see that technology that's going to be here in 5-10 years laying in front of you.
And that was Troy Cox there with Cecil & Son Discount Tires in Sand Springs and Sepulpa, and Lloyd Bolden, the king of the crankshaft, guru of the garage. And, you know, we bring everybody in on this because we've talked about this many times before. People are saying the electric car is the wave of the future. And there's a lot of people around the world that's happy to, you know, talk about that. But there's some downsides to electric vehicles, too. And Lloyd found an article. And, Lloyd, I was actually looked up. I thought, seems this sounds familiar. Very similar article that was from I don't know, some time ago that says basically the same thing. They believe they're, you know, people are saving the planet by running a car that has zero emissions. That sounds good, but of course, they're kind of deluded because unless you can recharge your electric vehicle from a pure solar power, all you're doing is shifting emissions from the point of use to the point of production of the electricity used. So,
yeah.
So it certainly is a lot of polluted cities out there, but now it seems that even if you can use solar power to charge your EV, you're still polluting more than a regular internal combustion engine car.
Yeah, that's an interesting point because I never really thought about it until I read that article. And it's been out before, like you said, but when you change, no matter what you do, you're going to have to use some of the other. It seemed like it just all intertwines no matter which way you go. The only one I know that's solely, and I'm biased on this, is natural gas. It's the one that use something that's natural. You don't have to do anything else. But the battery deal surprised me when I read all of it.
Yeah, all the carbon pollution emitted when making lithium iron batteries, too.
Yeah.
I mean, that is, too. But depending on where it's manufactured, electric vehicles could emit more carbon dioxide in the atmosphere than an efficient conventional car. And this was a study that was done by Bloomberg some time ago. And New Energy Finance and some other companies, it centers around the development of the lithium-ion batteries, which largely power a lot of the electric vehicles. And it takes significant energy to manufacture those batteries. And the process can actually mean more carbon pollution released. Manufacturing the country heavily reliant on fossil fuels. So it's not only, you know, the manufacturing of the electricity from, like, coal-generated power plants, but it's the batteries, too.
And I don't think any of us think about that part of it. We're talking about getting electricity cross country and charge them up, but what's that going to do with other things? There has to be things to make the electricity. So it's almost a catch 22.
Yeah, it really is. And even though, you know, the EVs, as we call them, produce little to no carbon emissions when they hit the roads, actually, but manufacturing the EVs can produce so much pollution it can cancel out any long-term benefits for the environment. And of course, like Lloyd said, Tom, natural gas certainly very, very low in the ways of emissions.
You betcha. And that was one of the big, in the conference, they have those breakout meetings, and they still were, every graph they had pointed to natural gas vehicles using renewable natural gas is still the cleanest vehicle overall to operate, because we're capturing the methane off these landfills now, and now we're putting it to use in a clean environment. And so you take all those components and everything pointed back to the natural gas vehicle. But the electric vehicle is sexy, but it's one of them things, it's not right in front of me. The emissions are not right in front of me. They're elsewhere.
They're somewhere else.
And
right.
Trailing you.
Yeah, so that gets away from a lot of people. That doesn't just come out of the wall. And another thing they were really talking about is the grid system is not going to be able to handle it.
Oh. Yeah, that was the next thing I was going to talk about.
Well, I've never heard the go ahead, I'm sorry.
Well, I mean, we've talked about it before. We're not looking at millions or even billions. We're looking at trillions with a T, trillions of dollars of updates for for our outdated grid. I mean, we see on the coast the rolling brownouts, and we haven't had to deal with them, you know, more locally because we have much lower population density. But, you know, where are we going to find this power? Are we going to build new power plants? What are they going to be? Are they going to be nuke? Are they going to be natural gas? Solar and wind is a tiny fraction of our power supply now, and certainly it can grow, but it can never totally supplant simply because we don't have the storage.
Yeah, and like you said, and if everyone had an electric vehicle, like in a neighborhood, and everybody plugged in at night to recharge, would there be enough juice to charge everybody all at once?
Well, it'd be like my daughters are growing up. They get up in the morning, all the hair dryers fire up, and the lights dim in the house. You know,
breakers go off and everything. Yeah, I suppose that would be a problem. And once again, if you pull too much amperage, Tom, you're an electrician, of course, you tell me. Can you pop breakers by doing, if you pull too much?
Oh, yeah. Now, you know, the National Electric Code's got protection for that. They're not going to let you put too much on a circuit. So all those chargers will have dedicated circuits. And, you know, we've been charging forklifts on electricity for a long time. So the codes and standards are there for that type of work, and it can be pretty safe if it's all handled right. But if you've ever been in the charging room where they do charge a lot of batteries, everything in that room is corroded like crazy because of the venting of the gases and stuff from the batteries while they're charging.
Wow.
Yeah, so there's lots of other issues going on.
That's dangerous too, isn't it?
I don't think I'd want to be in there breathing it.
Probably not the place to light up a smoke.
Yeah, well, look at a battery, all the corrosion on top of a battery.
Yeah.
Do that in a room or your garage or whatever.
Wow, it's amazing.
Well, so many of these alternatives have this issue. I mean, we've talked for years about, you know, the ethanol. I mean, okay, whoa, it's supposed to reduce emissions. Well, we've already and pretty thoroughly established from both sides of the aisle, even those people that want to support it, that it takes more than the energy in a gallon of ethanol to produce it. But then we're looking at, wow, we're looking at the pollution in the Gulf of Mexico. We're looking at the carbon released as they put more.
Yeah, it's,
you know, production in or land into production.
Yeah, and there was actually a study that was done from the president. This is back during the Obama administration that was talking about the emissions actually with ethanol is worse than 100% gas.
There were zero ethanol people at this conference.
Well, good.
Yeah.
They didn't want to have anything to do with it, huh?
Yeah.
Well, the other thing, too, Denver, that it never comes up hardly at all anymore is the cost of the batteries. What do? Hawk your house or do a second mortgage if they go out? Nobody's ever said that price.
And just kind of like your cell phone battery, after a few years, the efficiency of those batteries begins to decrease, so you're not going to get quite the full recharge on an electric car that you do or did at the, when it was a brand new one. So then at what point do you get you a new battery? And those can cost, you know, $1,500.
Logic just doesn't go along with it, to me anyway.
Several thousand dollars in some cases, depending on where you get it.
Fortunately, we're starting to see individual where, you know, 5 to 7 years ago with the first gen electric vehicles, you're replacing entire battery banks. Now we're seeing aftermarket come out with individual cells because typically you have dozens and dozens of cells wired in series to provide the amperage. And so there's a cost involved in going through and checking each battery, each individual cell. Yeah,
that's right.
But they are selling the cells. It's just, it's not going to be cheap.
No, not a cheap thing. 7:18 on this Saturday morning, we're going to put our party hats on and celebrate April as being National Car Care Month coming up here in a few minutes. Plus, we'll take your comments, 918-460-KRMG, or you can text us right now, 95920. It's an Ask the Experts weekend. You're listening to Wheels on News 102.3 KRMG. Today's the day for the Severe Weather Awareness Expo out at Woodland Hills Mall. It's from noon till 4 today. Come by and meet the KRMG and the Fox 23 weather team. We're in the lower level right smack in the middle of the mall. Get more info at KRMG.com and on the KRMG app. 7:21, I'm Denver Fox, and this is Wheels for this Saturday morning. And it's April, National Car Care Month. And boy, this is a good time to talk about fleet maintenance from Tulsa Gas Technology. That'll keep your vehicle running longer. And they say 80% of vehicles need service. They just forget to do a lot of the service. It's stuff, Tom, I'm sure you see every day where people come in and they have failed to do some simple maintenance that they could have done themselves, and it wound up costing them a lot of money.
It does cost you a lot of money, and we see it all the time. Deferred maintenance is usually what it's called. And, you know, I'm driving my vehicle here today thinking about some deferred maintenance because I run so hard.
Yeah.
I just have to stop and get my truck in the queue to get it worked on just like everybody else.
Yeah, it's hard to find the time to get it done, but you guys will actually call people and say, hey, it's time for your oil change. It's time for transmission change. You need to bring it in here and let us rotate the tires, things like that.
We don't rag on you, but we'll prompt you that, hey, this is it's time.
At least because you lose track of time.
I mean, I do.
And if a little reminder will help you keep your car running longer, man, it's well worth it. And the fleet maintenance program at Tulsa Gas Tech also helps you with the commercial paperwork that you might have on commercial vehicles, which is mandatory.
It is. If you got commercial vehicles, you should have good vehicle records. Because if you ever do get in an accident, they are going to look back at that. And even if it's not the DOT looking back, all the attorneys and everybody that's trying to go after you, they think your pockets are real deep. they're going to know if you've been maintaining your vehicles.
Yeah. Every time I see a car now, we have truck accidents, you know, trucks are overturned here or there. I'm always thinking of that now. I'm thinking about that truck driver, and that company is really having to produce all of the paperwork. Even if it wasn't their fault, they say, well, let's check it out. Let's see if there's anything going on here.
Well, and I'll tell you, a lot of times what happens is a driver to defer some, like something that he's done, he'll say, my brakes went out. And that is a hot button for them to go after the company.
Oh, yeah.
And it's, you know, it's a mess.
Yeah, it is. Get more information about the fleet maintenance from Tulsa Gas Technology. 7:23 on Wheels, National Car Care Month here. And Troy Cox with Cecil & Son Discount Tires. One of the big things people need to check is their tires, of course. We tell people almost weekly to check their tire pressure, but actually sometimes just the condition of your tires, too.
Absolutely. With the tire pressure monitoring systems, you have at least some level of warning, depending on whether it's a direct or indirect system. Will determine how accurate it is, but it doesn't hurt to check them. I mean, if you're putting gas in your vehicle, you've got 5 to 7 minutes pretty easily. Do a quick walk around. Look for any bulges, any cuts, any debris in the tread. Take a quarter and put it, you know, head down in the treads. If you can see the top of Washington's head, you know, you're down to 430 seconds or below, and it's time to start thinking about fresh tires.
All right. Lloyd Boland, king of the crankshaft, the guru of the garage, the inventor of the PC 41 Plus, the headlamp restoration product here. You see people that, well, basically run out of oil, things like that. Low fluid levels is a big thing. About 26% of people just don't check it.
It's unbelievable how easily you can damage a motor if you don't pay attention to the oil, because even our own cars, I don't know about these guys, but I'm bad about checking my own car. And because we're always test driving somebody else's, and we just don't think about it. But
yeah,
when you think about oil especially, cars will run down to probably a half a quart of oil and still oil and put the light out. And it is really, really bad on a motor.
Oh, absolutely.
Because unless you check it periodically, you're never going to be aware of it. So it's something that you just have to be programmed to do it.
Anything else that comes to mind that people neglect as far as they could? It's something that people can easily do is change their air filter.
Air filter. First thing that comes to my mind is wiper blades.
Oh, that's true.
It's just... And I think we're all bad about that.
That's true. You think about it when it rains. Like it's coming up here in the next year.
And
too.
They, you know, they look, or they're all there. The blade's all there. You turn them on, and they're skipping so bad, you still can't see.
Yeah.
So it's something you just check periodically. I don't know, a time, maybe if you tried for every 2 weeks or a month just to walk around your car, and that's a long time. But there's so many things can happen so quickly. And if you let something go that warns you, for instance, a battery, if it warns you once, deal with it.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I was riding with someone just this last week. We were in Phoenix, and we stopped at the store, got out, car just quit working. I mean, there was no symptoms of it coming on. It just, the battery just clicked, and there was no power at all. And I looked at it, and I said, well, and I said, how old is this battery? Oh, about 5 years. And I said, it's probably about time.
Yeah.
Fortunately, we were across the street from a battery store, so we just walked over and got a battery. But
you know, I hadn't thought about that, Denver. It'd be good to periodically check the date on your battery.
Yeah.
When they get about 5 years, you better replace them.
Yeah, there was absolutely no warning, and that's what happens nowadays.
They used to.
Yeah, usually you'd have a couple of slow cranks.
I don't know how they did that.
It would kick off, but technology changed or something.
Yeah. Well, if you stop to think about the drivers, it's a computer. Computers don't react well to low voltage.
No.
So, I mean,
stop to think
about an old analog car.
That's right.
If it would even barely turn over, you could probably get it to start. Not so much with the newer stuff.
Yeah, one light went on, that's not too bad. When 4 or 5 come on, you're in trouble. And that's what will happen.
Latest news from our 24-hour Fox News Center coming up next on News 102.3 KRMG. About converting your vehicle to compressed natural gas, talk to Tom here about all the rebates, the tax credits can help you cover that initial investment. And boy, it's some hefty little rebates you're getting right now, isn't it?
It sure is. If you like $5,000, bring a 3/4 ton truck over to me and let me convert it.
They'll just write you a check for that, huh?
Absolutely. You fill out the paperwork, got to have good paperwork. And you fill it out, send it in, that check comes in the mail.
Fantastic. Plus, there are tax credits if you have a business. This is really advantageous if you have a fleet of these trucks you want to convert, several of them. You'll save a lot of money in the long run, certainly, as you drive those trucks. But the rebates and the tax credits really come in and almost cover all of that initial investment.
You betcha. Our state is so generous. They are leading the whole country in this natural gas vehicle revolution in currently, we have some great tax credits, and they're a little difficult to explain, so that's why I like to sit down with you and go through the whole process and make sure you understand it before you hit the go button.
Sounds good. Get more information, go to our Wheels page at krmg.com and click on the Wheels program, and there's links to all of the programs and things we talk about here, Tulsa Gas Technology, to Cecil & Son Discount Tires in Sand Springs and Sepulpa, and Lloyd's PC 41 Plus, the headlamp restoration product, and just check there, get more information online. It is, and boy, I tell you, the gas price right now is, what, $1.55 for a gallon of equivalent for
$1.55. The gasoline was $3.89 in California.
Oh, wow.
I passed out.
Well, I'm surprised it's not over $4. I mean, they were saying in some places over $4 gallon.
Well, in Paso Robles, California, it's $4.25. This was in Long Beach, $3.89.
Wow. Ouch. It was in Phoenix.
And I thought $2.89 was ouch.
It was $3.18 a gallon in Phoenix. And it was going up as we were leaving too. So it's wild. We're lucky to have $2.59 a gallon, I guess, maybe here. Anyway, it's National Car Care Month. We've been observing that, of course, talking about checking your fluids and what have you. Check engine lights. About 13% of people just want to ignore that when it comes on.
It's just not Penny on Big Bang Theory. It's people in real life.
I think so.
Well, if you have one come on and you're on the highway or something, it's still running all right, you might go on and drive it on in, but it's best to check them.
I absolutely get
someone. They can be triggered by hundreds of things.
You bet.
And one of those one things may be one thing that'll stop your car from running.
Well, I'll tell you, on a check engine light, if one of them ever comes on and it's flashing at you,
that's
that
serious.
Means stop.
That's it.
Yeah.
Wait till something else. That means stop right now.
If it comes on and stays for like 10 seconds, it's going to drop a hard code. If it just flashes at you, you're probably going to be okay if it's just on and off for a while. But when it comes on and stays on, especially like Tom just said, if it flashes, you better get somewhere.
Yeah, if it just flashes and keeps flashing, that is desperate cry for help.
Wow. Yep. Okay, good thing to know. Lloyd, you were driving a customer's car this week and it went into limp mode. Was it flashing on you?
No, it didn't.
It
came on after it went in the limp mode. That was an interesting ride because I was on the Broken Arrow Expressway and I still haven't figured out the speed limit. It's somewhere between 70 and 90 or somewhere there. But I was running about 65, and I accelerated, and it went into a limp mode. And when it goes into a limp mode, that means it shut off the motor just about. It goes to an idle.
And it was just barely get you off the road then.
Well, I got off the road a little bit, and I knew, of course, just to put it in neutral, shut it off, restart it, which was interesting because you can't hear nothing. You just have to crank it and watch the tag, see if it fired. But I was very fortunate the traffic was not heavier than it was, and I was in the right lane because I wasn't sure. I was test driving. I wasn't sure if it was going to do it or not, but it did, and that's not a good thing to happen. And I was going to say something about that that you reminded me. When you're driving down the BA or any 169, things like that can happen. So when you get up on somebody's bumper, think about that. If your car goes into a limp mode or something happens to their car, you're going to hit them. You cannot stop quick enough.
That's right. You don't have the power.
And it's just, yeah. I think about that every time I'm running on one of the freeways because I guess people think they got such good brake systems they can stop in 50 foot. Mm-hmm. You can't do it.
It's either that or they're all NASCAR fans and they're drafting.
Yeah.
Well, and you know, the purpose of limp mode, if a car just died, the power steering dies, the power brakes die. When they go into limp mode, you still have power steering and you still have the vacuum in the motor for the power brakes.
And it's not so bad if you're on a side street or, you know, a regular street, but on the expressway, you go into limp mode, you're going to come to a halt pretty quick.
Mm-hmm.
So it's dangerous. That's the only thing you'd say about it. But when you're driving your car down the highway, just It'll make this will make your day. Just think of all the things that can go wrong.
Yeah. Well, thankfully, so rarely do.
And some to your car, do. Too.
It's very rare.
May go wrong, too. Yeah. 7:42 here on Wheels, and we're observing here the final weekend, National Car Care Month in the month of April. One of the things we were talking about this last half hour, battery service, about 13% of people don't do anything to the battery till it fails them. In fact, you got a text message at 95920 says, when buying a new battery, check the manufacturing date. And that happens with some manufacturers. You may not actually be getting as fresh a battery as you think you are.
Well, it's actually usually not the manufacturer. It's the people who sell them.
The distributor.
Because yes, they can rotate their stock, and the manufacturers, I'm sure, will work with them. But there's always a date. It's usually on the end of the battery. There'll be a sticker, or somewhere there'll be a date. It'll say E9 or 10, whatever the year is. And you need to watch that, because if you get one, let's say you bought one today and it's 2019, and it says 2017, don't buy it. Just don't buy it. It's a 2-year-old battery, and odds are it's not going to last a year because of sulfation in the battery.
Would that battery even be charged up if it's set on the shelf?
Yeah, you could get, sometimes you get by with them quite a while, but when a battery just sets, the material on the plates begins to flake off. Okay. And that's where it creates a problem. It reaches a point, it shorts.
Wow.
So,
all right. Okay. Sounds good.
Well, I tell you, you know, when you're buying batteries, if you're buying them from the big box store, a lot of times you lose that receipt. When you buy them from your mechanic, normally that receipt is in his computer as well.
Yeah.
And you've got warranty back through that. So, you know, there's good reasons to come to the guy that takes care of you and have him install, put the battery in, just because of the paperwork along with the battery.
That's true.
And, I mean, that's – Tom and I were talking off there. We're both fans of the Interstate line, not only because they typically do really well in consumer testing, but because they're a really good partner to keep your batteries rotated, to keep, you know, the stock fairly fresh. And
well, they come do it for you.
Right.
Yeah, that's a good deal. And if you buy a cheap battery – maybe has a 1-year warranty, you kind of get what you pay for on those, don't you?
Yeah, because, you know, there are some inexpensive brands out there that have a 1-year-and-done or 2-year-and-done battery warranty. So, you know, if that's what you want, just walk into it with open eyes. You know, 12 months and a day, if it dies, you're buying another battery.
Yeah.
You know, if it's $80 versus $100.50 for a top-quality Interstate, if you have to buy that second one, you didn't save any money.
Wow.
Yeah, if you buy 1 year, plan all your trips downhill.
Good idea there.
Yeah.
Another text question here, a couple of them actually for you, Tom. Can you give a ballpark cost to switch a 2015 Dodge Dart 4-cylinder automatic to CNG? Do they even have EPA kits for?
No, they don't.
For those?
And, you know, I would honestly counsel them not to even let anybody convert that vehicle. You get such good gas mileage already. The payback wouldn't be there. But there is 2 nice stations in Enid. If you look at buying a truck or something, there's an OnQ, and then Oklahoma Natural Gas has a station. And, you know, I think I saw $1.50 a gallon over there.
Wow.
Yeah.
For CNG.
For CNG. So
right.
How do you beat that?
Yeah, really. That was one of his questions.
Makes me want to buy one just to save
He was asking if there was a CNG station in Enid. And there's stations all over the state. There's tons of them everywhere.
Yeah, go to cngnow.com and kind of look at their map, and it'll floor you how many CNG stations there are.
All right. Very good. It is 7:46 here on this Saturday morning. It is Wheels. Maintenance requirements that are set by the car's manufacturer, your owner's manual, seems like it'd be kind of dull reading, but at least as a reference manual, finding out what some of your maintenance ought to be.
Makes a lot of difference.
It's a good thing to check every once in a while. Should I have this? And maybe you don't know what your tire pressure should be or what type of oil you should be using, and it'll have it in there.
It's all in there, and the important thing when you're reading that is to be honest with yourself. There are typically 2 schedules, normal and severe. Pretty much nobody listening today drives normal. And I'm being a little enthusiastic there, but if you look at their normal driving, it's driving for extended periods of time. The vehicle is up at operating temperature 20 minutes or more to burn all the moisture out of the oil. If you're doing short hops 5 miles or less, if it's all stop and go around town, if you drive in dusty conditions, and we do live in Oklahoma, if you ever tow, that automatically kicks you into the severe service category by the manufacturer's definitions. And you will have more frequent oil changes, more frequent transmission services, more frequent cooling services when you are in severe service. So, I mean, look at what you do. And yes, changing those fluids more often costs you more money. But as a customer told me the other day, liquid parts are always cheaper than hard parts.
Yeah, that makes sense, I guess. Mm-hmm. All right. Hey, got some good deals on tires right now at Cecil & Son Discount Tires.
Yeah, we've got rebates running through the end of the month from a number of manufacturers. Some of them are up to $200 of combined offers on select sets of Goodyear tires. Cooper's got up to $145 in combined offers on some of their tires. You can hit CecilandSons.com and see all of the efforts broken down. There are 9 or 10 rebate offers running from manufacturers right now. So great choice in brands, great choices within those brands of tire lines, and you know, good way to put some money back in your pocket and get ready for summer driving season.
And sometimes it's hard to look at a tire and know whether it really needs to be replaced. I mean, sometimes it looks okay. You may not be looking necessarily at tread. It may be just an old tire.
Absolutely. You can look at the DOT number. On one side, it's just a partial. On the other side of the tire, down by the bead, it's a full 11 or 12 digit. If you look at the last 4 digits, that gives you the week and year it was built. So if it says 1409, it was built in the 14th week of 2009. At this point, that's a 10-year-old tire and really should be out of service.
Wow.
Yeah, I need to ask you a question about tire cracks, little tiny, tiny cracks up on where the tread is.
If, use like a small screwdriver, something not sharp, you don't want to cut or tear the tire. If they're just surface cracking, keep an eye on them, but they don't automatically disqualify a tire from service. But anytime I see service cracking, I'm looking for that DOT number to see how old the tire actually is.
Yeah.
You know, if it's 4 or 5 years old and you've got some surface cracking, we're into wait and watch mode. If it's past 6 years and you've got some cracking, probably ought to start budgeting for some fresh tires because you're out of warranty at that point on everything.
Well, what's the max you would run a tire yourself, year-wise?
On my personal vehicles, I pull them off at half tread or four years, whichever comes first.
Wow.
When you get into years 5, 6, the rubber is getting harder. We don't heat cycle like a NASCAR or drag racer does, but, I mean, they're getting hot and cold, and they're the volatile hydrocarbons that keep the tire grippy, especially low temperatures, are working their way out of the tire. It's just getting harder. So your wet braking distances are increasing. Mm. And for me personally, it's not worth pushing it past that point.
No.
We all have to make our own choices. But I'm pretty down with the consumer groups that are trying to get the federal government to move the tire replacement from 230 seconds up to 4. Because from 430 seconds of tread down to 230 seconds of tread, we're seeing wet stopping distances from highway speeds anywhere from 1 to 3 car lengths longer.
Wow.
That's the difference between hitting somebody and not hitting somebody. Oh. And if you think, well, I can't afford tires, well, can you afford your insurance deductible?
Mm. Well, I got a big tire question. Mm-hmm. You know, they got all this stuff you can put on your tires to make them pretty. And all the cleaners and all the stuff.
Shiny.
Shiny,
yeah, it
or
good
clean.
Too.
Yeah.
It does. It does.
Are the tire manufacturers objecting to this, or what are they saying about this chemical we're throwing on that tire?
The only one that I've actually seen hard pass on, there was a product out, and it may still be out. I don't look that much, but there's a product called No Touch that was a spray on foam. Yeah. And it was reacting with the white walls and white letter, the white rubber in those, and turning it kind of a ivory or yellow color that was causing some issues. But in general, you know, the silicone-based products are fine. Just keep them off if you can. If you've got an open spoke wheel, try to be careful where you put it, because if you spray that all over the tire and wheel, not only is it going to make brake dust stick to the wheel more, but it's going to get on that rotor and get into the pads, and it can change the frictional coefficient enough to get you squeaks and squeals and unpleasant noises. Eventually, it'll bake out, but short term, it's unpleasant. So try to be careful where you spray it.
You were talking about the rubber getting harder as the tire gets older. I was thinking, as you get a new tire, you suddenly realize how much of a nicer ride you have with new tires.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you're going to typically see a ride improvement. You're definitely going to see better wet braking, better wet and dry cornering. Certainly better hydroplaning resistance just because the tread's deeper.
7:52 on this Saturday morning, and we're looking for a high today of 81 degrees, 62 now in Tulsa. This is Wheels on KRMG. Natural gas vehicles, any problems with any of the Blue Energy fuel stations, all you have to do is text CNG to 313131, and your name goes in the hat to win some CNG. You could win a tank full of compressed natural gas.
Yeah, full tank full. So if you come in and got a 20-gallon tank, we'll fill you right up.
Sounds good. Or you might get any more beanies?
I do have some beanies.
Yeah,
they're still nice. Cool in the summer.
They are, even though it's hot. Just wear them anyway, just to look cool. Got a quick phone call here, 918-460-KRMG. Let's talk to David. David's got a question about batteries. Go ahead, David.
Yes, sir. I have a battery that's 12 to 15 months old. It's one of the higher, better-known battery brand names, but it was always a little draggy on starts, it just seemed like. And now it, when it sits a day or so, it just won't even start. It has to be jump started. And I can start it again the next morning, okay. But if it sits like a day and don't use it, it has to be jump started again. What would you think might be the issue on that?
Well, the number one, check the date on the battery, what we've been talking about. It'd be on the end of the battery, probably be a sticker. But it sounds to me like you got a bad battery.
Right.
And check it for a draw. If you don't know how to do it, it's real simple. Any of us could check it for you or show you how to do it. But anyway, if you have one doing that that's that new, there's definitely something wrong with it.
But if you put another battery in and have the same problem, probably will get some resistance from your seller doing two or three.
Yeah. I mean, if you check it right, you won't have to worry about if it's not bad or not.
But, you know, it's either a battery is bad or you've got a draw somewhere in the system. And if you've got a draw, it doesn't matter how many batteries you throw at it, you're still going to have the same problem.
But we've all seen them that are really borderline and difficult to isolate, but it can be done.
I don't think it has a draw anywhere that I can tell. It doesn't appear to have that, but it just doesn't seem like it'll hold the charge more than a day or so sitting.
It probably has
because sometimes I'm using my truck instead or something.
It probably has a slight short in the battery.
Yeah. All right, David, thanks. Yeah. Thanks for the call there. Appreciate it. We'll we're running a little short on time here, but if you want to get your battery checked, you do that at Cecil & Son Discount Tires in Sand Springs and Sepulpa. Bring it in, and you guys can check them out. And if they do need a battery, you have batteries there.
Absolutely. We've got the Interstate ED18. We can run a test that tells us how the battery is in terms of condition, checks the alternator, the starter draw, and gives us a really good snapshot of how the electrical system's working right then.
And you also have Lloyd's PC41 Plus, the headlamp restoration product. You can do them right there in the bay, or you can sell them the kit themselves.
Absolutely. If you want to tackle it yourself, as long as you follow the directions, it's fairly easy to do. But if you don't want the mess, don't have the time, we're happy to tackle it for you.
And Cecil & Son Discount Tires, you're on Morrow Road in Sand Springs, also on Highway 97 right across the bridge, and on Main Street in Sepulpa. Great service that you get. In fact, we were talking about checking for tires. Sometimes I'm looking at tires and I'm not really sure myself. I say, I'm ready to buy tires. You guys tell me, is this tire's good? And they say, no, you got another year. Don't have to buy them now. So tell me whether I need them or not. You know?
Yeah, I mean, we're in it for the long haul. We've been in business 45 years. I mean, we're second generation business owners dealing with third and fourth generation customers. We really honor that relationship. And, you know, we want you for the long haul.
Tom Sewell, Tulsa Gas Technology. If you want to get CNG conversion, then you guys are the ones to talk to. You're the only EPA-certified dealer anywhere around, I think.
Yeah, they've all those shade tree guys have vanished. I was thinking about the PC41 you were talking about. That's cataracts for cars.
It is. I like that. That's good.
Well done, you, sir.
Yeah. All right, guys, have a great weekend. Go out and celebrate April National Car Care Month here. And put the top down. It's going to be sunny this afternoon. The news is next on KRMG.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.